The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea, which collects fish of every kind. When it is full, they haul it ashore and sit down to put what is good into buckets. What is bad, they throw away. Thus it will be at the end of the age. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth." "Do you understand all these things?" They answered, "Yes." And he replied, "Then every scribe who has been instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings from his storeroom both the new and the old." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. Well, this gospel that we have today follows immediately from the gospel we had last Sunday, where the Lord also was using parables to talk about heaven, and he talked about the seed and the one who sows the seed. And in that gospel we heard last Sunday, there was a same line that came out of this week's gospel when he talks about hell. He talks about the fiery furnace where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. And I didn't get the opportunity to preach on hell with you all last week because the way the priest mass schedule works. So I got to talk about hell with the 5 o'clock, the 9 o'clock, and the 7 o'clock last week. So I thought since the same line is here this week, I would talk to you all about hell. But we're going to go and talk about something much more happy after that as well. But I want to begin by talking about hell because you've had this experience where on some point of the faith, something like the existence of hell or the existence of God himself or objective right and wrong, and people will say something like, "Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that there is a hell, or I don't believe that there is an objective right and wrong," or whatever. And I always want to say, well, it doesn't matter what you believe. What you believe doesn't affect its existence. If hell exists, then hell exists whether or not you happen to believe it does. And if it doesn't, then it doesn't whether or not you believe it does. You know, this is that dictatorship of relativism that our Holy Father speaks about and that our society so often falls into. But our Lord is making it very clear today that there is a hell and there are people there. Now, he doesn't want anyone there. God doesn't want anyone in hell. God has created each and every person, whoever has been, whoever is, and whoever will be, for heaven. And he gives us all the grace and all the strength that we need to get there. But it's important for us to remember that that part is up to us. And that's why I wanted to begin just by talking about this third of these three parables we get this Sunday, because this third of these three, where he talks about that net that's thrown out into the sea and drags up fish of every single kind. The point our Lord is making is that's the preaching of the gospel. That's God's offer. God offers salvation to everyone. He throws that net out there, drags it in. So it's offered to every one of us. And again, it's up to us to be the good or the evil, so that when we are separated, God willing, we wind up with him forever in eternity. So that's the first point I wanted to make, is that although, yes, there is a hell, and it's important to remember that, not to scare ourselves into doing the right thing, but just to be sober about it, but that God doesn't want anyone there. God offers that to everyone. He throws out that net, offers it to everyone. Now, I want to talk about those first two parables we just heard, because those first two parables say something about our response to God. That first parable was about the man who finds treasure buried in a field. I was doing some research in preparation for this homily in various commentaries, and I didn't realize this, but it kind of makes sense that back in that day, back in our Lord's day, if you had something really precious and you wanted to keep it safe, especially if you lived in a place like where our Lord lived, that was constantly being run over and overtaken by other countries and pillagers and whomever else, you didn't have banks, you didn't have a safe, and so what you would do is you would bury it in your field. And so it wasn't uncommon, perhaps, if someone died and someone else got the land, they would find something buried. So our Lord uses this analogy that perhaps would have been familiar to some. He says, imagine you find out there's a treasure buried in this field. You're going to go and you're going to buy that whole field just because of that little bit of treasure that's in that one corner of that field. You're going to sell everything you have and buy that field to get that little bit of treasure. And the same, he says, with the pearl of great price. The merchant who sells everything he has to get that little pearl of great price. This says something about what our response to God's offer of salvation should be. Because again, he offers it to everyone. In that first parable, it says the person who finds the treasure, he hides it again, and out of joy, goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Our response should be total, number one. It should be entire. It should be complete. But it should be joyful. We shouldn't be begrudgingly accepting what we have to accept to live a Christian life, because yes, let's be honest, living the Christian life involves sacrifices. There are certain things that we have to do, like go to church every Sunday and listen to Father John preach. And yes, you do have to do that. You have to go to church every Sunday. And there are certain things we can't do if we're going to be good Christians. So yeah, there is a level of sacrifice involved. But if we get so caught up on what we're giving up to be a Christian, then we miss the point here, which is that it should be a joy-filled response. It shouldn't be getting caught up in everything I've had to give up to be a Christian. It should be, that means nothing to me. I am full of the joy that comes in gaining that treasure, that comes in gaining Christ, in gaining the kingdom of heaven. I was talking with someone earlier this week who came into my office, and we were talking about something completely unrelated, but of course, celibacy came up. And she said to me, and she wasn't trying to be rude, she said, you know, I always thought it was so cruel that they make you be celibate. And then she kind of went on from there, and I kind of cut her off, and I said, number one, no one made me be celibate. God called me to celibacy, and in fact, God calls to celibacy before he calls to the priesthood, to the religious life. It's from those whom he has first called to that he will then call to the priesthood, to the religious life. I said, so number one, it's a calling. I said, but you're right, it is a sacrifice. I said, but that's what makes celibacy such a great sacrifice, is that what I'm sacrificing, namely marriage, a family, what I'm sacrificing is such a great good. That's what makes it a sacrifice. I said, that's me willing, and I'm not trying to set up myself as an example because I fall short all the time, brothers and sisters, but that's what makes it a sacrifice because it's such a great good. You know, during Lent, you don't give up something you don't like. You give up chocolate, it's because you like chocolate. You wouldn't give up chocolate if you hated chocolate because there's no sacrifice in that. And she asked me, she said, well, can you really tell me that at your young age, you're like really actually honestly happy? Like, can you honestly tell me that you're joyful and like, I'm not talking about bad days here and there, but can you actually tell me that you are like really, and I said, yes. I said, that's the great joy in responding fully to the Lord. I said, and don't get me wrong, it's not that it isn't a sacrifice, it is a sacrifice. And yeah, there are still times, and the devil loves this, the devil loves to get in there and throw in what if you did this, what if you did that. So yeah, it is a sacrifice, and the devil reminds me of that constantly. Every life involves sacrifices, not just the priestly state, every state involves sacrifice, every vocation. And the devil's always going to get in there and say, well, what about this? What if you did this? What if you didn't do this back in school and you studied this instead? And you'd be doing something completely different. Or you would have met someone completely different. You got married to someone different. You would have different kids, you know? The devil gets in there and throws in those what ifs. But I was very happy to be able to tell her, yes, I still have bad days here and there, and the devil will still get in and mess with me. I said, but there's a joy. And again, I don't try to set myself up as an example, but just, you know, to preach from my own experience, there's a joy. And I went into seminary right out of high school, you know, and then 8 years of seminary after that, and a long road ahead, and a lot to be given up, an appointment to the Air Force Academy, and all sorts of other things, but there's a great joy in being able to respond fully to the Lord. And I would just leave you with this, that sometimes we need to rekindle the joy in finding the Lord. Sometimes we get so caught up in what we're doing for God and not what He's doing for us. We say, you know, look at me, God, I'm going to leading a good life, you know, I'm trying to do the right thing. And sometimes we get so caught up in what we're doing for God and not what He's doing for us, which is life forever, eternal happiness and fulfillment. So I just offer that to us, that when we respond to God's love, that it be joy-filled, that we go and we sell all that we have. And of course, each of us in our own state is going to do that in our own way, but the point in that is that it's total. We don't look back. We totally give our lives to the Lord, and we go out with joy, and we find that treasure of great price.